Today in Storytime, we are joined by a former member of the Prince Albert Raiders. He was drafted by the Edmonton Oilers, but was traded prior to making it to the National Hockey League, made his NHL debut with the Minnesota North Stars, then played in the IHL, and finished his career playing in Europe, mainly in Austria, then became coach in the Western Hockey League, won a championship for the Swift Current Broncos, was an Edmonton Oilers assistant coach, and is now the head coach of the Spokane Chiefs. Manny Viveros joins us. Manny, welcome back to the program, and I have to say it's the first time ever that I've done my show that I ran into one of my guests coming on the show earlier at the gas station like we did today.
Thanks for having me on, Jason.
Yeah, I noticed you weren't really wiping your windshields. Look a little dirty out there. You might want to get some windshield wiper fluid on there.
Well, for sure, next time I will. It's a little bit dirty. So I drive my wife's car, and I don't get to drive it very often, so that'll probably be the last time I'll be able to drive it.
All right, well, in story time, Manny, we kind of like to go through everyone's career. Everybody has a unique story. Of course, you're from St. Albert, and you went to the Western League route, played for the PA Raiders, had a lot of success with the Raiders, of course, winning in 1986. You were drafted, though, in 1984. So let's kind of go way back to where it started. Were you a hockey guy right from a young age, a multiple-sport athlete? Was hockey your first love, or did you have other sports you really liked?
Well, no, certainly hockey, Jason. That was obviously something growing up here in Canada that everybody wanted to be part of. But also for me, also my father is Portuguese descent, and so soccer was a big part of our family growing up. And my father had coached me from the youngest age all the way up, and so we had an opportunity to play a relatively high level soccer here in Alberta, and had some success. And soccer is a real passion of us, of our game also too. And my father always said I was a better soccer player than hockey player, but unfortunately there was nothing really to pursue at that time except for that old NASL soccer that back they had in the early 80s.
Yeah, well, and that's interesting, opportunity. So were you a striker? Were you a defender? What were you in soccer?
I was a striker when I played the game, and I always loved the scoring part of all sports, like everybody does growing up. You want to score, so that's something I played for, through my young soccer career. And then when I got to 15 years old, I'm sorry, 16, I had to make a decision whether it's going to be a one-sport athlete, and we decided that hockey's the way we wanted to go, and fortunately worked out pretty decent, and we decided to stick with hockey right after that.
And so you stick with hockey, and in hockey, were you always a defenseman as well in hockey, or did you play forward growing up?
No, funny, I started off as a forward, and then I remember for whatever reason, I had asked my coach when I was playing Pee Wee hockey if I could try playing defense, and I played one game with the defense, and then I ended up playing defense after that for the rest of my career. And I remember also, back in the 80s or when I first started pro hockey, of my size back then, they were trying to, convert me to a forward, but I'd always end up going back to being a defenseman. And it's something that where it really benefited me being able to be an offensive defenseman and a puck moving defenseman also.
Manny Viveros joined us, and it is interesting, Manny. We had Darrell Evans on earlier. We had a lot of other guys say that they played other positions. Some didn't play defense until they got to major junior. Others were defensemen their whole life, and then all of a sudden they got to major junior, and the coach's like, sorry, if you want to play on our team, you got to play forward. And boom, they switched. And they've all said how it allowed them to have a different understanding of the game. Right, and you being an offensive defenseman, being a scorer, was it hard to learn to defend then?
Well, not necessarily. I think if you understand the position that you're playing, and once you make that adjustment to it, then it's not that big of an issue. And I even now at the junior level here in the Western Hockey League, I will get kids at times to play different positions. you know, especially in practice, sometimes I'll flip the forwards. They play defense, and I'll flip the defense, and they'll play forwards, which the defense all think they can play forwards, and the forwards all think they can play defense, and it's not as easy as it seems. But it's a good to get a different perspective, and even in game situations, sometimes if a player is able to do it, we'll use them in different situations, whether a defenseman up front or even a forward on the back if need be.
Manny Viveros joined us. I like that. Just get people, players thinking. You got a long season in junior hockey. You got a ton of practice times. You got to think of something different. And they probably have a better appreciation for their teammates once they try to play the other position.
Well, certainly, Jason, there's certainly a lot of chirping that's going on when they try the position because they all think they can play it, but they certainly, at the end of practice, you understand it's not as easy as it is here. But I think it's, you never know. You have to be, during a game situation, there could be, a couple kids injured on your roster, and then you might have to use someone in a situation. So if they have a little bit of familiarity in those positions, it certainly helps out. And I know that happened to us a few times this year in Spokane, and I was quite surprised how well some of our kids did.
Manny Viveros joined us. So, Manny, you're a St. Albert kid, and then you go to the Prince Albert Raiders. You're in your second season with the Raiders, and you get drafted by the Edmonton Oilers in the sixth round. Take me back to that. Who called you from the Oilers? How'd you find out you were drafted by the team closest to home?
Well, actually, I was down at the draft, Jason. I went down there, and I ended up going in the sixth round by Edmonton, and I never expected to be drafted by Edmonton, but it was such a dream come true, obviously growing up and being such a fan of the Oilers during those days. And when they selected me, I was very, very happy. But having said that also, too, it's probably one of the best, runs of a franchise in history of the National Hockey League during those glory years of the Oilers. And it was a real difficult team to have an opportunity to make that hockey team. But nonetheless, it was still a real honor to be drafted by them.
So, you're there at the draft. You go down, you meet them and everything. And then, you're pretty excited. But then you get traded to Minnesota. Where were you when you found out you got traded? And even though you weren't, a member of the Oilers, at least on the NHL roster yet, was it a negative for you? Or how did you receive that trade?
It was nothing but a positive. It gave me an opportunity to crack a lineup of a different team in the National Hockey League, and that's everybody's goal, is to have an opportunity to play in the National Hockey League. But actually, where I was, Jason, as I was at center ice after practice in Hamilton Cops Coliseum with the National Junior Team, and Terry Simpson was our National Team Junior coach at that time, and we were, obviously he was my coach in Prince Albert at the same time, and we're at center ice, and we're having a little post-practice stretch, and Terry came up to me, he says, Manny, you just got traded to Minnesota, congratulations, get ready for tonight's game. So it was quite a bit of a shock, but at the same time, very exciting to have an opportunity to go somewhere else and play also.
Wow. Oh, because now, wasn't Terry your head coach in PA too?
Yes, he was. I had Terry and Rick Wilson, wonderful men. Both were so instrumental in my career, not only as a hockey player, but more importantly as a person. And he was quite. Terry had a great chuckle about it too, and he said that's the best thing that could have happened to you, to have an opportunity to go somewhere else also.
So when he said you'd been traded, did you think maybe he was talking about the Raiders?
No, thank God I didn't. I wasn't the Raiders, but which I certainly didn't want to be moved from the Raiders. But no, he told me right away it was to another club in the National Hockey League, though. But so a little follow-up story with that, though, Jason, that after that year, or that World Junior Tournament, when we got back to Prince Albert after that, I still had not signed an NHL contract with Minnesota North Stars at that time. And Terry and I were back with our club in Prince Albert, and we were on our Western swing, and we were in Kamloops, and we had played the night before, and then, we had played that night. After, in the restaurant, Terry called me aside, and he said, Manny, Minnesota would like to sign you to a contract, and he had thrown out a couple numbers that it would work, and talking with Terry and also my agent and my parents, we all agreed it would be the best, it would be a good contract to sign. So I was absolutely excited. So finally, when we got this all done about midnight, I went to bed. I got a call at 7 o'clock in the morning from Terry Simpson, and he told me to meet him down in the lobby. And I says, okay, what's going on here? And he says, well, congratulations. Your contract's obviously signed, but go grab your stuff. We are taking off. You're taking off. You're flying to Minnesota. They want you in the lineup this evening. So we were in the process of driving at that time from Kamloops out to the coast to play the teams on the coast. So we had already loaded our stuff onto the team bus. And so I had gone to the team bus, and I had grabbed one of the soup bag, which I thought was my soup bag. And Terry Simpson and I both had the same soup bag that we both received with the national junior team. Without thinking, I grabbed Terry's soup bag, and I got on, drove to the airport in a cab, and then I flew off to Minnesota and spent 2 weeks with Minnesota North Stars wearing Terry Simpson's suits for 2 weeks. He had mine for the rest of the road trip in the Western Swing.
Did his suit fit?
Not at all. I was, Gregor, at that time I had to be maybe 150 pounds soaking wet, and Terry was a full-grown man in his early 40s. So I got a lot of rousing from the NHL players when I showed up in a very plaid-looking Herb Tarlick type of suit, so to speak.
Herb Tarlick, I love it. Manny Vivaros joins us. And Manny, what's unique about this, you know, this was in 1985, 1986. So you get called up to play for the Minnesota North Stars, but then you got sent back down to go to the Raiders to finish the playoffs. Like, you couldn't really do that today, right? It's kind of a strange, a lot of people are like, what, how's that possible? It's just different rules back then.
Well, at that time, Jason, what they would do is that they have emergency recalls due to injury. And if anybody by position, I think it was the number was five people by position in the organization that were injured, emergency recall you, and that's how that happened there. So I knew I was going up for, I think it was a maximum of five games, and after that, there's no matter what I did, I have to go back down anyhow.
Oh, okay, so it was emergency recall, yeah. And those are rare, though, even to, you know, to dip down into to the junior levels, even back then, when you think about it. Manny Vivaros joins us, and Manny, when you, you know, you look back at that time, those first four games, you come out of junior outside of the ill-fitting suits. What was your takeaway from those four games?
Well, you know, I was in awe at first, but just the, you know, being 19 years old, stepping into the National Hockey League, just the size and the strength of the players and the speed of the game. And even nowadays also, too, you see it, like, being involved in junior and also spending a season in the National Hockey League, what a difference there is at this level and how important it is for young players to have a chance to mature in the minor leagues and physically and mentally ready to play in that level. And that, for me, that was my biggest takeaway from that. Is I thought, you know, I was a pretty decent player in junior hockey, but going back on it there, I said I was nowhere near being close to ready to play the National Hockey League at all.
Manny Vivaros joins us. So you're up for four games, then you come back, and of course you go to the Raiders. You guys had a, you know, magical season, and you win. Then the next year you turn pro, so you got to go to the North Stars to training camp, and you did get in one game that season. Actually had a point in the only game you played. But how was the adjustment to the American League for you? Did you fill out? Were you any bigger then?
Not really, Jason. You know, I think I maxed out at training camp at that time. Might have been 160 pounds at that time. And for me, that was a lot of weight for me at that time. And, you know, fortunate enough, I was quick enough to get away from a lot of players on the ice and, you know, be a little bit elusive with my skating or the ability to move the puck pretty quick, though. But again, you really noticed the difference even from junior to the American Hockey League, what a big level step that is. Oh, but, you know, fortunately enough, I was able to keep up with that and get stronger just naturally over those next couple seasons. And then, you know, for me, it was not a big adjustment at all.
So you play, and you know, you put up some, you were an offensive defenseman, you had 42 points as a rookie, then the next season you had a point a game in the IHL. Explain, when you went to the IHL, were you still part of the North Stars organization? That was the independent league. Was that their farm team, or was it independent? How did it work?
No, that was their farm team. My first season was in Springfield, and we had split between the New York Islanders and the Minnesota North Stars. And that second season, the North Stars moved their whole minor league program to the IHL in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And so we had an opportunity, you know, to have all of our players as one group down there. So it was really, you know, really, you know, great city there, and a great opportunity where we were able to have, you know, 24 players from the same organization, and the North Stars wanted to keep everybody all in one spot together.
Okay. Manny Viveros joining us. Was, you know, you played and you got into, you know, over 30 games in your National League career, you know, in 1987-88 with Minnesota. You had 10 points in 24 games, which is solid production for a young defenseman. When you look back on your time in the NHL, was it about opportunity more? Did you need to be a better player? How come you didn't stick?
You know, Jason, that's a good question. You know, I certainly never make any excuses because, you know, if you're given an opportunity, you got to take the most of it. But, you know, the game certainly was a lot different back then, and I certainly didn't fit the physical stature of that type of game. And not to say not other smaller defenses never played in the league at that time, but for me, it's just something that, you know, it just didn't pan out. So certainly have no regrets whatsoever, but, you know, it's something that you certainly never regret, and going back, and I would never change anything in the world.
So then, you know, you spent a few more seasons in the IHL. In 89-90, you left and you went to Europe for a year, but then you came back. So were you injured in 89-90, or did you just, you didn't have a contract? What happened to have you go to ESV in Kopparin for a year and then come back?
Well, I went over to Europe. I was able to leave the North Stars organization at that time, and I still had a year left on my contract, and they said, I said I wanted to go pursue something in Europe and have a look, see how it is, because I kind of thought that in my own mind I was kind of just spinning my wheels. So we went over to Europe, to Germany, in the Bavarian part of Germany. I played probably about a month or possibly 2 months, and then I ended up hurting my shoulder and having surgery done. So my season was done at the end of that year. So we came back home, my wife and I, and I had the surgery done. And then throughout that year, just running into somebody, we were back in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, where my wife was from, and I ran into a scout from the Hartford Whalers, and he asked what I was doing, and I said, nothing right now. I'm just rehabbing. I'm hopefully ready to go next year. And sure enough, I got a call a couple of weeks later, and Hartford Whalers had called me and willing to offer me a contract for the following season. So went and spent 1 year in the American Hockey League with Hartford organization, and was very fortunate enough to be on a team that won the Calder Cup. And then right after that, I kind of see it's going to be real difficult for me to have any opportunity to, you know, play in the National Hockey League. So my wife and I went back over to Europe and started another career over in Europe.
Leon, so we'll get your thoughts on that in a second, Manny. But I want to go back to you making that decision to go over to Europe full-time in 1991. You're 25 years of age. You and your wife go over there. And you went to Austria first. Why was Austria the choice?
Well, at that time, Jace, basically that was the only offer that we really had, was to go over. And I had known some people that had played over in that league over there, and they just recommended how really what a great experience it was, that the way that the lifestyle and the league itself and everything else. And we did our homework on it too, and we thought it would be a really good spot for us. And we planned on going over for 1 year, and we ended up spending, I think, probably close to 22 or 23 years over in Europe.
So when you went over there, Manny, you get to Austria, your first year, boom, 56 points in 46 games, right? And obviously you did very well. You stayed there. How was the hockey, the style of it? And I look at it, it's probably less stressful than the NHL. Was it more enjoyable?
No, it certainly was. We certainly had a lot of fun. There's no question about it. We were very fortunate, you know, to get paid a sport that we loved doing too. But it certainly wasn't the grind that you had as going through the American Hockey League, or the short time I was in the National Hockey League. We certainly played. We played Friday, Sundays. I think when I first got there, I think our league regular season, I think it was under 40 games. And you never played back-to-back games, which was frowned upon over there. So you always played Friday, you had Saturday to recover, and Sunday you play again, and then you had the whole week off again, mind you, with practices, though, but it certainly wasn't the grind that we have over in North America. And it gave us an opportunity, at that time for us, my wife and I, to travel in between and get to know the country.
What did you learn most traveling and getting to know the country in Australia? In Austria, excuse me.
Well, wonderful country, and everything is so nearby. Where we lived our first 4 years over in Austria is a place called Villach. And we were about 20 minutes from the Slovenian border and an Italian border also. So there are times that we could just, if we wanted to go and have a pizza or go for pasta in Italy, we could be at a restaurant under 30 minutes, or go to Slovenia. And that's the same area too where Ante Kopitar is from, in that area too, in about 30 minute drive in there. So beautiful country, and you get the culture of two different countries so close by.
So Manny, you stay there for four seasons, and then you went into the DEL, which is in 97-98 kind of a step up, fair to say?
No, it certainly was. Yeah, I had an opportunity to go to Schwinnigan, and then I spent two seasons with that team. And much different league at that time, Gregor. At that time, they were allowed anywhere upwards of, I think the limit was 14 imports. So we had 14 North American players on our teams and very few German players. So it was certainly a really good league, and a lot of the players were ex-NHL players or, very high-end American Hockey League players that came over to extend their career. So from that point of view, it was excellent hockey and a lot of fun.
You spent two seasons there. How was it difficult negotiating contracts?
No, not at all. We always had an agent, and the majority of the time at that time, you'd have a North American agent, so they could do everything for you. Even though at that time there was no social media or how it is nowadays, obviously with your cell phones and stuff, so you had to rely everything just on by your home phone, and so you had agents handle that for you. So when it was such a strong North American connection over in Europe, it was actually quite easy.
Okay, so then you go to Italy. Now I'm guessing, you're in Italy, Vivero, so you got to be loving it there.
Yeah, well, that year was quite an experience. We had gone back to Austria and we had signed with a new club in Graz, Austria, and we had played probably about 2 months into the season, and then the club had folded, so we were all free to go anywhere we wanted to. So I had an opportunity for us to go to a place that's called Sterzing Vepetino in the northern part of Italy, and which is very similar to Austrian or the Bavaria part of Germany, and everybody spoke German or Italian there. So my wife and I and our two children, very young at the time, we had spent the rest of the season there, and we had an absolute wonderful time. Incredible place to be, to learn the culture, the Italian culture, and live it, and the food and everything. We really enjoyed. One of the most enjoyable times we had of our whole career.
Now, how was the hockey in Italy in 1998-99?
It was okay. It was certainly below. It was certainly below the Austria League, and certainly below the DEL, though. But you did have at that time also too a lot of we called Italian Canadians or Italos, they call them over there. So a lot of teams, some of the higher profile teams like the Bolzanos or Milans, really stocked up a lot of their players with the Italian Canadians, and so it was pretty decent hockey, but there was certainly quite a gap between the top teams and the lower place teams in the league.
Manny Viveros joins us, and so then, Manny, is that why you then opted to go back to Austria, just because it was better hockey, or was it lifestyle? What led you back in 99-2000 back to Austria, where then you finished your career playing another nine seasons?
Well, there's an opportunity to go back again and play there. you know, there's more opportunities. There's some contracts that are open that, and I got a call to go back to Austria. So I ended up going back there and getting my Austrian citizenship while I was there. So at that time, I was playing as a non-import, so it made me a lot more attractive to Austrian teams here, where I was basically an import playing on an Austrian pass. So for us, it was much more beneficial financially and easier to find a job over in Austria. So we went back there and then ended up, like I said, playing a number, many more years in Austria. I think it was 40 years old before I retired, and there's no question about it. Having my Austrian citizenship certainly helped.
Yeah, okay. So when did you start getting the coaching bug?
Well, it's kind of funny, Jake. Like my last season here, when I was playing, it was going to my 40-year-old year. It was going to be my last year, no matter what. And I talked to my wife and our kids. We said we're going to go back at the end of the season. And I ended up getting hurt in October, I believe, of that year, and that ended my career. And that, which is fine. We were, at that time, I was going to be done anyhow. And at that time, the club I was with in Klagenfurt, they ended up firing their coach, and they had asked if I can finish the remainder of the season, five games as the coach. And then they asked me if I would like to stay on in the management position also too. And so talked to my wife and we discussed it, and we were fortunate enough to sign a five-year contract there, and we ended up staying there after that. And that's how I got into coaching. And after that five-game stint, had a little bit of success. And so I thought I knew everything about coaching when I started off. And that was certainly, it was a rude awakening the next season for sure.
What was the biggest learning curve to coaching?
Well, the biggest thing for me, Jason, was, all of a sudden, a player, you're looking after yourself first and foremost, and obviously your teammates also too. But as a coach, you certainly have to be aware of everybody on the hockey team, and it's such an important thing like that, as far as being able to understand what player, how to speak with them. Some player reacts differently than other players, and for me, that wasn't that difficult, because I think if you're just being yourself and honest and fair, that's not an issue. But I just think everything is so new to me from the coaching side of it, of time management, how to prepare for practices or pre-scouts and those type of things, was completely new to me, and I've never had anybody to help me with that before, and I kind of learned on the fly.
Okay. So as you're learning, man, you've become a really successful coach. I know that communication is a big one. When you talk to people about coaching, how much is it on knowing X and O's compared to knowing how to communicate with your players?
Well, certainly systems are important nowadays, and you got to have structure. There's no question about it. And it's certainly got to be structured around, the talent level of your hockey team, first and foremost. But for me, it doesn't matter what type of system you have, is that if your kids or your hockey team don't believe in the staff or don't trust the staff, and trust the fact that you're trying to help them individually and also as a team, you have no chance whatsoever. And for me, the biggest thing is, you build a relationship with these players, earn their trust, and then you have this friendship with that. And then from that trust, you can hold them accountable. And that's what the kids want nowadays. They want to be held accountable, but they also want to believe that you really, you really care for them too. And a lot of times, Jace, when we're playing with our kids at the rink or before games or after practices, a lot of times we're not even talking hockey. We're talking life. We're talking different things altogether. And, they can come in at any time and not have to have a guard up by any means. They come in and be themselves, and that's something we really encourage and allow.
Manny, you even the coaching, you got to make choices as coach too, right? You had to make a choice as a player to go over to Europe. Manny Viveros joining us. And then you had to make the choice. You're in the National Hockey League, and you elected to go back to being a head coach in Spokane, the Western League. You had some offers potentially being an assistant head coach, even in the American League, but you looked at, is being a head coach, if you want to show people you could be a head coach, do you have to be a head coach? Was your mindset to go back to the WHL?
Certainly, I think so. And, you know, talking to some really, good people that have gone through this for many more years than myself, and have talked to them, they said, if that's what your goal is, eventually get to National Hockey as a head coach, then you should pursue that. And that's something that, I thought, I wanted to come back. I wanted to make sure that I was coaching and having the opportunity to go to Spokane, a great organization, obviously a very good league, was the best step for me and my wife and our future career here. So, and I certainly didn't want to be out of hockey very long at all, too. And again, I think I've told you this before here. I think, sitting around last winter without anything to do wouldn't have been very good. I would have just drove my wife nuts, that's for sure. So I'm so glad I went back to Spokane and coached this season.
Well, as a player you know very well, Ty Smith did win the player defenseman of the year in the Western League. What do you like about Smith's game? Having coached NHL defenseman, you see a guy like Ethan Bear. What do you like about Smith's game? What's he going to have to work on to become an NHL defenseman?
First and foremost, he's an incredible kid, and just a student of the game. Really understands the game very intellectually, very smart. For Ty, he's got all the attributes to be an NHL player for a long time. His skating ability, his edge work is outstanding. The way he moves and his lateral movement. He's one of those defensemen where he has the puck, he can get out of the trouble with his feet, or more importantly, he can make a tape-to-tape pass, be hitting forwards at full speed here. And, I think Ty, as he matures, as a 19-year-old right now, my opinion, I think he's going to probably need a year or two in the American Hockey League to develop a little bit. But once he gets naturally stronger, and he certainly does put the work in, he's going to be an NHL defenseman for years to come.
Manny, great stuff, man. I appreciate it. Hopefully, you get back playing, coaching next season with the Western League. I know maybe not till October, but hopefully you're back there. And thanks for joining us in Storytime.
Jace, thanks very much for having me on. We'll see you at the SO again soon.